The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Welcome once again to part 9 of our Central World of Black Emmanuel box set review. I am Flesh Wound Dan, joined by producer Todd. Producer Todd, how are you doing tonight?
I miss Max.
I miss Max too. I miss Max too.
Well, he didn't do nonsense when he was here, so I miss him even more right now.
Well, that's, hey, new gimmick. You never know now. He could be inspired. So we'll see what's going on.
Yes, it's episode 9, but we're covering discs 9 and 10 tonight.
Yes. Discs 9 and 10. We'll explain. Because you get a little bit more complex with these productions as you go along in the
Some cases.
Yeah, the Black Emmanuel, or at this point, this ain't Black Emmanuel run of movies. But I will say, unlike our last episode, which admittedly, you know, kind of clip show flicks, this is not the case this week. So a little more meaty this week. Yeah. Without further ado, we will jump right into it with our first film, which, again, complex. You may know it under different names, which we'll get into. But our first film is Divine Emmanuel from 1981 and writer-director Christian Anders, who we will talk about in a minute. And this follows the daughter, Patricia, of a U.S. senator, is drawn into a hippie cult called the Children of the Light by the boyfriend of the cult's leader, a mysterious and beautiful Asian woman. The cult turns out to not be the free love community it presents itself as, but rather something sinister. All right, so first off, just to talk about some of the director in particular. Now, before I get there, because I'm getting ahead of myself, you might remember this movie under the title Love Camp. That was possibly the way you saw it, although with this one, who knows?
It really depends on your era, really, on that.
Yeah, that's the most known alternate title to this film. And so the director, now this is pretty interesting, because I did some digging. The director, Christian Anders, because we're out of the Joe D'Amato wave at this point, he was a relatively big singer in Germany during the 70s, and he went on to, he's kind of a wingnut, he went on to write books, including The Book of the Light. Also, The Book of the Light for Children, where he discusses such topics as HIV being created for Black and gay people and other conspiracy theories. You want to dive into it? He's quite the notorious and interesting fellow, let's just say. He's got some interesting beliefs. And also, kind of, since he's got like some sort of culty, arguably, depending on who you are, culty kind of feelings, this is a culty movie. So I think it makes it more interesting watching it, because he's maybe playing himself. I don't know. I'm not an expert on Christian Anders, and I don't want to make too many assumptions about him, but just looked at some of the book reviews, and he's pretty wild. This movie, as I said, was commercially released under the title Love Camp, and it was originally intended as an over-the-top kind of musical drama, kind of think The Apple from canon films, need a little more on the drama side of things, which we'll talk about because there's an alternate cut of this movie. But yeah, so this one is a blast. This is one of those films I could potentially recommend to, you know, fans that aren't really into the sexploitation stuff, maybe not into Black Emmanuel in general, because this is just, what a weird movie. We get these musical numbers from Dorian, the cult guy, particularly a main theme that sticks in your head throughout the movie because they keep repeating it. There's one musical number from another one of the cultists that it's kind of like Bird is the Word.
It was the song was very familiar.
Yeah, they're essentially doing a riff on Bird is the Word all the time, where you've got like Harry Vag dancing around. There's a girl just doing the splits in front of him while he's like doing this little beach this little beach song. You never saw so much Harry Beaver in the Gidget movies. No beach blanket butthole rather than beach blanket bingo, and you kind of get the idea. So you have this weird thing where you can tell you're getting this mesh of stuff that really was never originally supposed to go together. I'm gonna mix because we're reviewing Divine Emmanuel, but the alternate version of this is Fanatica When the Goddess Calls. It's a special feature. To explain briefly the differences, Fanatico is Christian Anders' original cut. Now, this is pretty cool because this is the first ever release of the original cut. I'd never seen it before. There's more in that. There's less explicit sex. Now, it's still there. It's not something that was just totally added in. But there's less explicit sex. There's more of the senator and daughter footage than is in the other version. There's more backstory, different backstory on the divine one with Black Emmanuel. And there's a whole segment where, so she's got a bodyguard called Tanga. We see Tanga and how she came to know him. Tanga was in this sort of, I guess, leper colony, essentially. And we see the divine one heal Tanga, and a lot of the story beats are still the same. Gabrielle Tinti is still a mole in the cult. There's more Christian Anders sermons, which is you can imagine. I wish we had an interview with him, because if nothing else, he's a really intriguing dude.
Is he still around?
He is still alive. Yeah, he's writing books, and I don't know that there's a literal cult or anything that he's running, or religious organization or anything like that. Same, like I said, I'm not an expert, but yeah, he writes books, and he's got some interesting conspiracy theories.
That HIV one was very popular. I've heard that numerous times.
Yeah, cocaine being created by the FBI or CIA, whatever. Yeah, there's a lot of conspiracy theories of the time that I think he might have subscribed to. Who knows? Maybe that's all true. Who knows? But getting back to Divine Emmanuel, those are essentially the differences. And it's different enough that, I'll be honest, you probably would want to watch Fanatico When the Goddess Calls on the special features, because there are significant differences. It's not the exact same film.
It's sort of like your Halloween producer's cut versions. You got significant differences.
Yeah, yeah. And they're all both are very entertaining. Divine Emmanuel is not a traditional Black Emmanuel film, but it's really entertaining. Some bizarre sex in this one. It's like a typical 70s free love kind of cult. There's a scene where we get this discount bin Ron Jeremy, who is giving his contribution to the cause and getting to have sex with this girl. And this Discount Binrod Jeremy, you ever watch like a sex scene and you just really wonder if any of these people have actually had sex before? He sits on the girl's face, so we get a good view of hairy Discount Binrod Jeremy ass crack. While his equally, even greasier pal comes in and gets like rubbed down, while this girl is like just jacking him off from like just laying on top of his back and reaching. Very weird. Like I said, this sex scene, I feel like nobody's actually had sex that shot it. but it's funny. It's funny as hell. This movie feels like it was made by aliens. And at another point, our Ron Jeremy character tries to sodomize the poor girl with a candle, and that doesn't go over too well for him. So it's got the funniest dubbing of Laura Gemser. It does not feel like her at all. The dubbings never do, but this dubbing in particular really did not feel like it worked. I laughed my ass off through the whole thing. There's some sinister stuff with the cult, but for the most part, this whole thing is more funny than anything. She calms her followers just by dropping her top, and like everybody all of a sudden just wants to dance and hug and laugh again. She's got magic boobs. as when Tanga gets on the action, it is just hilarious. There's a scene where he has to take this girl's virginity as part of this ritual, and you just see him basically quite literally gorilla fuck her. Like he lifts her up and just is he's got her like almost in a powerbomb position, and you're just seeing blood spill onto the floor. That might sound like, ooh, this is grind. It is grimy, but it's also just funny. It's so like, what the fuck am I watching? And to cap it all off, when he's done, when this handlebar mustache looking Tanga is finished, I can't remember his exact line, but he just like gorilla presses her over his head and he's like, it is done. Something like that. And I'm just watching this and I'm like, what the fuck? I hadn't, like, we're in that era of these movies where I haven't watched some of these in forever, and because again they're not true Black Emmanuel films, but my god is this entertaining. It's got a decent little story. Again, you got the love story with Dorian and the senator's daughter. Gabrielle Tinti is in there as the police mole looking for the missing sect members, which we'll see kind of what happened to them as we go along. And yeah, we even get some ninja fights, because by the way, also Christian Anders is a world-class martial artist, so you got to sneak in your ninja moments. He has a ninja battle with Tanga. Yeah, I highly recommend this one for fans of what the fuck cinema. And, you know, hey, there's plenty of nudity here as well. Also being a cult movie, it felt like not only, well, we're in the 80s technically, but not only the 70s Bush, but there's hairy armpits in this too, which I felt like a choice because it's...
Well, no, that's a European woman thing, Dan. They're not all...
But you didn't really see that in some of the earlier Black Emmanuel.
You know, but you do see it in that era from certain, like you will see it in Argento stuff too. Not necessarily Black Emmanuel, but it just depends on the country the women are from, because it's not like if she was Italian, it would make perfect sense, and I don't know what she was, especially from that time.
Yeah. But how would I pitch this before I tag out to you? A more explicit version of, I mean, there's not as much music, but The Apple. The Apple is what immediately hit my head from Canon. That's a good double feature with Divine Emmanuel.
That might be a little too much bad for one sitting for me, I think. They would pair well together due to similar themes, but I don't think I could take the apple and this at once. That's not saying that's not saying I don't like either, because this is batshit fun.
Yeah.
I think it's more palatable than the apple. Well, I do enjoy the apple. Watch them together might kill me. I'm just saying it now. But no, yeah, this one is. It definitely is a culty apple. Not as much singing, though. But other than that, I mean, like, just tone and batshit, it's very much on par. I've been watching a lot of culty shows, like documentaries. Mm-hmm. So this one felt very familiar to one I saw too. So I was like, all right, well, that makes sense. And then, oh my God, the whipping. Oh, that was so just like, I was like, okay, I get it. And then some of the dubbing, the black dude's dubbing, I was dying.
Oh, the black dude. He's the one that has the, it's not literally bird is the word. I don't know what the song is, but it's essentially that. And just, there's one scene where he's like just having sex with a girl, and there's this dude just laying next to him, like having a conversation.
Yes.
He's just sitting there, like, just like, she's like bouncing, like she's like on a trampoline, and he's just sitting there. This movie puts a smile on your face. If you're a fan of trash cinema, I highly recommend Divine Emmanuel.
It was a great change of pace from our last few in this set. This one gives you everything you want.
Absolutely. So what do you rate this one, Todd?
For entertainment, it's high. It's hard. I'm kind of going to average it out a bit. I'm going to give this one a 4.5. I have a lot of fun with it.
This made me think, if we ever actually make a Flesh Wound movie, which hopefully we will, like this made me think like we need to just do our own like cult sex comedy hybrid. We just need to do everything.
We just got to figure out why are they in the sex cult? What is their nefarious? Because they just want to get some ass. We'll discuss this off air.
Fairness, the dudes in this, like, some cults are bullshit. Like, I don't quite get the cults where it's like, I can understand somebody joining a cult. I can wrap my head around that. You're in a dark period of your life. You're just looking for something. I get that. I don't quite get the cults where it's like, okay, so
only the leader gets to bang him?
Only the leader. Like, sometimes it's even as bad as you get your dick chopped off. But, like, yeah, only the leader, like, has to, like, fuck, like, all the dude's wives. And it's like,
they're all like that, too. The only one who didn't was good old Charlie. come and bang everyone. The one good thing I say about Charlie.
Yeah.
He wasn't selfish with the poon.
This is for a dude's perspective, it's like, yeah, we all get to bang like whatever girl we want. Like, I can kind of see it from their perspective that this would be an appealing cult, and we just worship the beautiful Indonesian woman when she like drops her titties, and we just sing along with this weird albino guy. Like, I could take that. I'll sing the love song with the Dory and the albino. But yeah, I don't know. The cult things blow my mind. There's some, like, how does Applewhite get everybody to cut off their dicks?
I don't know, but you still haven't rated it yet.
Oh.
It felt like you're trying to justify the number you're about to give, and then you went off on a tangent about
five. I'm not going to go as high as a 5, because even though part of me wants to give it that, I'm going to give it... There's strong cult appeal that I don't feel this movie really has yet.
No.
So I'm going to give it a 4.5. I was thoroughly entertained. If you're a fan of trash cinema, check it out. Watch both cuts, because again, Fanatico, When the Goddess Calls, you've never seen that before, and there are a lot of different scenes, and it's
You know what I'm discovering from this? Because doing our research beforehand, and I was looking at the Media Blasters cover. How much I enjoyed the Media Blasters artwork from that era. They did some good stuff, because some of this stuff didn't have really any posters, and they made something out of it. And So I don't know. Just seeing this art again, I was like, I miss that style. Now it's all.
Yeah. And I think this delivers too. Like, I don't think it's going to upset the sexploitation fans, because you still, you know, you have the Laura Gemser lesbian scene. You have, you know, a lot of it you'll be laughing through, and you got to deal with those hairy armpits. That's why I'm probably not giving it the 5. But all in all, good stuff. It just throws everything in the kitchen sink at the screen, and it works. It's a fun movie.
Deal with those hairy armpits. There goes Dan trying to imply his beauty on the women. So,
let's not get into that discussion. I love that. Let's not get into that discussion. It's just shave the armpits. I'm not asking much. Just shave the armpits.
Their body, their choice.
You can do what you want. It's my choice to be mildly revolted, but it's
your there.
Choice.
You go. I remember the first time. I think it was Tisa Brass, and I was like, ah, big black bushy pits.
You know what? I might, if I can find a photo, I might even change my YouTube photo to Tanga. I feel like Tanga needs like a fan club.
Okay, there you go. You could start making Tanga appreciation videos.
There you go. If we remake this, Todd, I want to play Tanga. I want to play Tanga. We'll talk. We'll talk to Christian Anders right. And see how he feels. I want dibs on.
I'm going to play the black dude chilling.
All right. So moving on to our second, well, third really, but essentially second film of the evening. It is Emmanuel, Queen of the Desert from 1982, I should say, and writer director Bruno Fontana. So it's not Emmanuel once again. Laura Gemser's name is Sheila in this one, and Sheila is trapped in the middle of a brutal war as both sides set out to claim her. Unfortunately for them, Emmanuel is not only beautiful, but quite intelligent and deadly, and uses her charms to seduce the soldiers to gain an advantage and seek revenge for an awful crime. So in Emmanuel, Queen of the Desert, this movie was also known as Dirty Seven, which is actually a much more accurate title for this one. It's based on a novel, Time of the Wild Beasts, by director Bruno Fontana. So this is essentially a mercenary flick. You have these mercenaries who were betrayed, and they're trying to work their way out of the desert. We jump back and forth in time a little bit in this one. They come across Sheila. She seems to have some kind of a beef with them. It's revealed as we go along, Boney, played by Gabriel Tinti, he's their guide, their forced guide, who is sort of trying to guide them out of the desert to safety, to get away from this rival military force, whatever it is. Over the course of the film, we find out that these mercenaries, Ard and assaulted Sheila's sister, and brutally murdered her grandpa, which I will say, very psychologically fucked up, some of the shit that they say, and that's what this is. It's essentially a mercenary / revenge exploitation film, and I think it's actually effective. Like you said, we've been watching these movies back to back to back. Sometimes certain things do bleed together because you're always looking at a lot of the same actors. That's why we've slowed down with this a little bit, because quite frankly, when you watch a lot of them back to back to back, you have to like remember and not jumble scenes in your head because you know, some are similar. This is a very different kind of movie. It was shot in Cyprus, which I'll get into the backstory of the the making of the film here in a little bit, but I think it's really entertaining. I mean, some of these mercenaries are just fucking brutal. They just want to like fuck and murder and maim. And obviously Sheila, Laura Gemser, they want her bad. And she uses that to her advantage to get revenge for her sister. There's some decent action scenes. The movie moves along at a brisk pace. I mentioned, of course, Laura Gemser, but we also get Angelo Infante in here. Giovanni Brissadori is a really mean bastard. Salvatore Lago is Marcel. All of the actors that play the mercenaries are really good, really nasty. You kind of want to see them get their comeuppance. And the scene with Emmanuel's sister is quite brutal, violent, and any kind of revenge movie like this, I always say, go hard on that, because then the revenge portion is going to be that much more satisfying. But most of it plays out kind of like an action film. And I would say, as far as showcases for Laura Gemser's acting, this is one of the stronger movies. I think Gabrielle Tinti as well, who, you know, throughout this box set, you see, like, sometimes he's the heavy, sometimes he's, you know, the hero. It just depends. But overall, very solid film. A little bit lighter on the sex, but once again, you get to see Laura Gemser, you know, in all her glory in this one as well. So there's plenty of that going on. And yeah, I liked it. This is just a gritty, nasty, well-made grindhouse film. What did you think, Todd?
Yeah, I know. I'm with you on this one. And the fact that, like, you know, we've been saying it is different, and it's not, you know, the same thing over and over. I think another one, this one made this one stand out, especially after the previous one too. Totally different kind of film. This one isn't, you know, it's not one that I enjoy for laughs. It's just like you said, it's just a good mercenary flick. And I mean, if this was Dirty Seven, I mean, we'd still, I'm pretty sure, you know, we'd still like, oh, well, that's the one with Laura Gemser. I mean, we'd still remember it.
You absolutely would. In fact, like I said, I think this, much like the other one, would have maybe been better known just as Dirty Seven. Yeah. I know, shout out to 42nd Street Pete and his channel, one of the great grindhouse scholars. He, if you watch any of his recent videos, he has a Dirty Seven, I don't know from what country, I think it's an Italian poster maybe, in his background for Dirty Seven. And nice. Yeah, I'm going to throw out one of the most fucking just unbelievable lines in this movie. I don't think it's clear. They're, you know, essentially doing their thing with Emmanuel's sister. They've already killed the grandfather. And I don't know which character, like, throws her out the window at the end, but one of the other soldiers just runs to the window and is like, I mean, I actually thought it was implied that she jumped. It's a little unclear, but he just goes, "No, you bitch, I didn't even get to come." as she's just like splat on the ground. And I was like, holy shit, these guys are bastards. These guys are what pieces of shit these guys are. And again, so effective. So effective. Yeah. So if you're a Laura Gemser fan, if you're a fan of any of the actors I mentioned, Gabrielle Tinti, I think you'll have a good time. At this portion, I feel like you could have probably have just kept going with the Emmanuel exotic locales, same formula kind of thing, but they made so many of those so fast, like within such a, I mean, basically for like at least 5 or 6 years straight. Yeah. Gemser and Tinti just did nothing but crank these movies out. And yeah, this is a welcome change as you go along in the box set. So there you go. Well, let's rate this one.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what do you give it? I'm a 4 on this one. I think it's solid, and it's well worth checking out.
Yeah, I'm a four as well. Obviously not a huge budget, so some of the actual action is not as lavish as some other films that it's, you know, it's no Dirty Dozen. But yeah, overall, I had a blast with it. And yeah, so you get two films here. And I'll talk a little bit about the special features, because technically that's not true. What, four films?
Yeah, if you want to, yeah.
Four films? Yeah, because I'll get into that, because there's some interesting goodies on this disc. Mm-hmm. But yeah, two unique movies and a good night at the movies. A good what-the-fuck night at the movies between the two of these. So, four stars. On the extras front, as I said, with Divine Emmanuel, the only extra is just the alternate cut of the movies. The movie, which is well worth watching, so highly.
It also has the deleted scenes too.
Deleted scenes as well. So, in this one, we get an interview, Violent Cypress, an interview with actor Giovanni Brusatori that runs 22 minutes. He actually directed Escape from a Women's Prison in 1978. And a producer from Cyprus saw that. Kind of, he talks a little bit about his relationship with the director. Always kind words for Laura Gemser, which is a theme throughout all the special features. I don't think anybody's ever had anything bad to say about her. We also get Sunlight and Violence, an interview with cinematographer Nino Celeste that runs 15 minutes. He tells some different stories. Apparently, the heat was almost unbearable on set. He talks about his lighting process. Good little interview there. We also get, so this one is an oddity. We get Looking Good, the Laura Gemser workout video, which runs a little over an hour. And so this is not like an erotic workout video or anything. There's no nudity. I mean, it's essentially just a workout video, 80s aerobics. And
they'd work in a pinch.
Yeah. I mean, these VHS tapes back in the day were wild. And there's some weird shit out there, too. Like, if you really want to go down a rabbit hole, there's some bizarre 80s, even into the 90s a little bit, aerobics tapes that they did different gimmicks for. Is this worth sitting an hour through? Not necessarily. I mean, again,
if gotta do the workout, Dan, you can't just sit there and watch. Come on.
I will break out my 80s leotard and just make it happen. Hold the leotard somewhere. But I will say, if you want to watch this, the dubbing also is awful. To be honest, Laura Gemser doesn't do a whole lot.
No.
She just kind of has like this narration over it. And she doesn't do a whole lot of fucking shit. Like, get out there, Richard Simmons, that shit. I want to release an aerobics tape where it's just like me sitting like eating nachos. Like, it's like, go, 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 go. Like, just as I'm just like shoving my face. She ain't doing shit. She's just sitting in this luxury chair while her voiceover says something once in a while. But you get, this is bizarre. You don't get any commentary tracks on the movies, which I wish we did. And I'm not criticizing it, because overall, obviously, you know, at this point that this is an amazing set. I know it's an expensive one, but they give you so much. I would have liked the commentary on the two movies, but we do get a commentary for the Looking Good workout video by film and TV historian Amanda Reyes and podcaster Eric Frelfall of The Hysteria Continues, it's not as in-depth, because even they admit, like, we got no information on the dancers. You know, it's just something Laura Gemser did back in the day, and it's a fun little oddity. It's a fun little oddity.
That the origin story of that tape is what the movie Murder Size was. That's the documentary on the making of Laura Gemser.
So, I mean, you remember back in the day when Jane Fonda put out her workout video? Like, every housewife in the country had that.
There was a fucking, I remember going into Target. There was a whole section for fucking exercise videos.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, I went into the 90s, really. I mean, we kind of got into like the Tybo era with Billy Blanks. Yeah. And I could be mistaken, but I still think Tybo might be a thing.
I don't know. Dan still using his thigh master there too. So
absolutely. I just throw in kicks with Billy Blanks. Just chilling. I'm not going to rate the looking good workout vid, but work out to it and let us know what you think in the comments. And please do leave comments on these videos, because that helps us more than you know, with the algorithm and all that good stuff. Even if we say something that offends you or you think we're pieces of shit, we don't care. Just leave a comment. That's fine.
Yeah, you can, maybe not.
Yeah. Yes. Talk shit, please, in the comments. And also don't forget our free Discord, which every description has that. That's free. Our Patreon, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. That all starts at just a dollar.
Which you may be watching this on right now. If you're watching it early,
you might be seeing it early on there. We got our Femme Fatales episodes up, almost all of them now. We're getting there, not quite, but almost the entire series covered on Femme Fatales. And we appreciate it very much. But even if you don't join that, hey, hit that thumbs up, leave a comment, even if it's just a fire emoji, whatever. We don't care. It really helps, and we appreciate it. So on that note, guys, let us know what you think of these two movies. If you're just a cult film aficionado in general, they're worth watching. I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on these. So please do. And on that note, Todd, do you have anything else to add?
Good night.
Come again. Hard.
The following.